I think the one thing that's more important, more than even skill, because you can teach skill and certain knowledge to people, you have to have people that care.
Welcome to Honest E-Commerce, a podcast dedicated to cutting through the BS and finding actionable advice for online store owners. I'm your host, Chase Clymer, and I believe running a direct-to-consumer brand does not have to be complicated or a guessing game. On this podcast, we interview founders and experts who are putting in the work and creating real results. I also share my own insights from running our top Shopify consultancy, Electric Eye. We cut the fluff in favor of facts to help you grow your e-commerce business. Let's get on with the show. Welcome to the Honest E-Commerce Podcast, the first one on location at Etail West. Shayna, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
All right, this is wild. We've got two camera setups. We're doing it with the new microphone. First of all, how do you like the conference so far?
Amazing. This is actually the best conference I've been to. I'm getting a good mix of feeling like I'm on vacation, but also working. Like, it's so relaxing here.
I mean, the weather here is amazing.
It's beautiful.
The vacation part, they're putting out like beer at 11. And
exactly.
I'm like, hey, this is a little interesting.
I love it.
I want to be cognizant of your time. Let's just dive in there. So for the people that don't know, you're the CEO and founder of Baskin Lather.
Yes.
What is that, if I'm not familiar? What are the types of products that you guys are selling?
Yes. So Baskin Lather is a hair care brand dedicated to helping men, women, and children all over the world grow and keep hair that they love. So our hero products are oil-based products. They're all natural ingredients with powerful essential oils that are scientifically proven to help with hair restoration and growth. We've now expanded to a full line of products that not only help with growth, but moisture and length retention as well.
That's amazing. So take me back in time. Where did the idea for this product come from?
Yes, so 8 years ago, my younger sister lost all of her hair due to a ringworm. She had flaking in the scalp. It just looked like excessive dandruff. My mother kept taking her to the primary care doctors. They were giving her dandruff shampoos, and eventually her hair started to fall out in clumps. Months later, the issue wasn't resolving. Hair started falling out, so my mom took her to specialists, and they finally properly diagnosed her with ringworm. And she took the antifungals, and her hair completely fell out after. She had like a big crop circle, no hair at the top. She ended up losing all of her hair, and it stayed that way for months, even after the infection cleared. And at that time, we were living in Pennsylvania, and my mom took my sister to specialists in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. And they said, they did scalp analyses, and they said, we don't see any growth, like any activity in the follicles. We're not sure that her hair is ever gonna grow back. And my mom became really desperate and created her own concoction, which is our scalp stimulator oil. But it was never meant to be like a product or a line to share with anyone. So fast forward to 2020, I'm working as a nurse practitioner. I got deployed to go work in the hospital. I was working in an office setting, and I acquired COVID, became really, really sick, like to the point that I was like in an ambulance on a non-rebreather mask. And I recovered, and a few weeks later, my hair started to fall out in big balls and shed. Like, I was so embarrassed and hurt. I tried all these different emergency treatments. Nothing helped. And so I started using at this time now we had two oils, our scalp stimulator, and then we had a hair elixir, which is like a Jamaican black castor oil that's really thick and it helps to stop shedding. I started to use those two that my mom created very consistently, and almost instantaneously, my hair stopped shedding and breaking. And I was back on the track to regrowing my hair. And I said, we have to share these products with people. Like, it was crazy.
That's amazing. So where was the impetus, to validate this idea with other people? Did you just go out there and try to sell it? Or like, what was like the first steps to, other than your friends and family, like what was the first steps to acquiring new customers?
I had before and after photos from not only my sister, good thing, because it was so many years ago, my mom had documented her entire journey with her hair loss.
Yeah.
So every step of the way, we have the photos and videos of her hair. And I just started sharing those photos and videos for my sister and also with my hair loss on my personal Instagram. And people were like, what is that? I want to buy it. So then we started making batches and just selling it in bottles with no label to people on Instagram. They were like cash apping us. And it was so crazy. So then like a month later, I was like, all right, we have to turn this into an actual business.
I mean, that's validation right there.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, like we have something here. Mm-hmm. So how was it going from like a serum that your mother kind of created herself to like an actual product that's ready for market?
Yeah, so the first, I would say, like the first $5,000 to $10,000 of sales were in a glass bottles from Amazon with no label or nothing on it. People didn't even care. They were like, I just want this product. Like, I want it. So then we spent about a month and a half. We got a logo made. We built the website on Shopify. We built up email list, and we did all of those things. And then we got proper labels, and we did a launch. So that was December 18th, 2020. And by March 20th, and then so we did a lot of organic social media marketing, like on Instagram, just constantly showing that social proof and actually being repetitive. Like, we wanted the whole world to know that brand story, so we just kept sharing that story, and people gravitated towards it because it was kind of hitting a pain point for a lot of our customers. They also have issues with their hair, right? And we launched in December 2020, and by March 2020, the business had grown to six figures in monthly revenue, to the point where it was costing me to go to work as a nurse practitioner. So by June of 2020, the business just continued to grow, and I decided to leave my career as a nurse practitioner to grow the business, and it just took off exponentially since.
I want to talk about that, but there's some more stuff that I want to get into with kind of getting the business up there. So you mentioned that you spent a lot of time on Instagram. Was that the only channel that you were trying?
At that time, yes, it was only Instagram. We were posting on our page, and we were also reaching out to pages that like had a related audience.
Yeah.
So like hair care pages that would like post memes and quotes for hair care, because they also had our target audience, and they would repost our brand story. We would pay them and they would repost our brand story, and we grew like 50,000 followers in just 2 to 3 months that way, all organic.
If I'm a listener out there and this is a strategy that like I've thought about, but I don't know how to do it, could you like break it down really simply for me?
So I would search, so what I would do, sometimes I would just go look through my followers, things, what are they following? Sometimes I would do like hashtag natural hair care or hashtag natural hair care promo page. And I would find a bunch of pages that were relevant to our brand and our products. And I would reach out to them, hey, would you mind, can I pay you to post this on your page? And they would repost whatever we sent them. So, and that would typically be our brand story. One slide with the befores, the afters, the full journey, and a catchy headline.
And it was you were reaching out typically with like a pay to play type. You're like, I'm ready to give you money.
Yep. And I would ask them, what are your rates for promotion? A lot of these pages do promotion. That's why they run the pages.
Yeah.
And we would pay them and they would post the content. And we grew a lot from that. We didn't run paid ads for the first year.
Yeah, exactly. So that was your kind of growth strategy to get net new customers, was getting in front of other people's earned audiences with kind of paid placement.
Exactly.
And you did that for about a year.
We did that for about a year. Within the first 8 months of the business, we grew to $1 million in revenue this way. And then it was around November, so just shy of a year into the business, that I started running meta ads on my own.
Yeah.
But everything we like to do things on every platform organically first before we start the paid advertising, because we just built up so much more social proof beyond our own personal stories by doing it that way.
Absolutely. I want to get into meta and the growth that you saw from putting money behind the content, but I know there's entrepreneurs out there right now that they have a good thing going on the side and they're scared to make that leap. What was it for you? You said that it from a financial perspective, it just was hurting the business not being there. Was there anything else going on that where you were like, I need to focus on this. This is the thing that I need to kind of, people say burn the boats.
So I'll bring it full circle. So basically, I was working as a GI nurse practitioner. From when I was a child, I knew I wanted to always be a provider. I thought I was going to go to med school. Then I decided to do nursing. I actually had my son when I was 17. So he went with me through school, 2 bachelors, got my master's. Loved being a nurse practitioner. I used to get there early, stay late. Had amazing, amazing boss and team and overseeing physician that I worked with. And then my superior nurse practitioner that used to oversee us retired. And the nurse practitioner that became my supervisor was from hell. She was like a micromanager. She just made it like, I would get pulled up to the parking lot for work and just be sick to my stomach. Like, I don't want to be here. Like, I loved my patients. I loved providing care. I just hated it. And then she just kept doing things like constantly. I was like, why is she picking on me? And actually, before she started picking on me, the business was growing so much that I was like, I may need to ask, can I go part-time? Because like, we were running out of product so quickly. Like, I would get home from work and be up till 1 in the morning refilling and making new product. And then when I said I'm going to go part-time, something in my spirit said, just quit. And I was like, I can't do that. I have a mortgage. I have student loans, right? And literally when I went against what my spirit told me, she just kept messing with me. Like, I got written up twice. I'm a grown adult. Like, I got written up for being late on a PPD that you need when you work with patients. She never reminded me that I was due for it. And then she wrote me up a second time because a patient was like 25 minutes late for their 30-minute time slot, and I couldn't see them because I had a full schedule. And after she did that, I was like, I'm gonna quit. So I was closing on an investment property the weekend before Labor Day. I was like, I'm just gonna close on this house and I'm gonna quit. So that's exactly what I did. I took vacation, like 10 days of vacation. I closed on an investment property during that time. I was due to go back to work Monday, June 7th. And I scheduled, sent an email for 5 p.m. Monday, June 7th, that I quit effective immediately. And basically expressed that I don't like being micromanaged. I'm very passionate and I'm a hard worker and my patients all love me. And I was just done. I didn't tell my mom I quit. I removed her access from my Ring camera so she wouldn't see my car in the driveway every day. And I quit and I grew my business. And the business literally from June when I quit to July doubled in revenue just because I was focusing fully on the business and manufacturing more products and got friends and family to kind of work for me full time to help fill and package and ship orders.
Hey there, merchant. Are you tired of trying to navigate the wild world of e-commerce on your own? Are you looking for a partner to help you achieve your goals? Look no further than the Shopify Plus agency, Electric Eye. Our team has a proven track record of helping our clients make millions with strategic design and development. Whether you're migrating from a legacy platform to Shopify, designing a new theme for your store, or just looking to optimize what you already have, Electric Eye is the perfect partner for you. Electric Eye are true Shopify experts. Not only is our Shopify knowledge unparalleled, but we have partnerships with all the best tech in the Shopify ecosystem. And don't worry, we're easy to get a hold of. Our clients rave about our fast communication. So here's the deal. If you're an e-commerce business doing over $1 million a year, you can receive a complimentary Shopify diagnostic from our team of experts. That's free, personalized, strategic recommendations to improve your store and grow your business. To get started, head on over to electriceye.io/connect to schedule an intro call with one of our experts. That's electriceye.io/connect.
Was there anything about like just the mental capacity of not having that other stuff on your plate that like helped?
Yeah, I think it helped a lot. I would say that also just this is something that's important. A lot of people are like, oh, I'm going to go out on a whim and I'm going to quit and I'm going to do my own thing. I would have never done it if we had not, for the 3 months prior to that, consistently hit these revenue goals that were like my 1 year salary. And I was running it from home, low overhead.
I think that's very important to point out.
Mm-hmm.
You had essentially already replaced your income
in 1 month
from your side business. Probably. It wasn't that you were doing this, that you were going from a paid job to nothing. And I think that's a little where some entrepreneurs maybe make a mistake. It's like, make sure that you can support yourself with your side hustle before jumping ship.
Yep, exactly. And then at that time, so my fiance, he's a correctional officer for the city. And at that time we weren't engaged yet, but I was like, oh, I can go on his insurance. So we went to the courthouse and, we mailed the papers in because it was COVID. And we got a domestic partnership and I went on his insurance. And I was like, yeah, now like this is great. The money's there. We have insurance. I'm done. And then, and I just focus fully on the business.
Awesome. All right. So Let's talk about you are finding awesome traction organically through Instagram. Tell me about figuring out Facebook ads and starting to put money behind this content. Did you get it immediately? Did it take some trial and error? What happened?
So I did something very smart that I didn't realize at the time. When I first created my Shopify site, I had installed the Facebook pixel on it. So for that full year before I ran ads, my pixel, and I was getting so many sessions to my website, was collecting all of that data.
Yep.
So, and now we had already built the following, we built the social proof on social media, and even beyond social proof, right? We're not only showing results, we're showing like written testimonials. We're showing from at that first 10 months was from my home, the packages going out, et cetera. So by the time I said, okay, I want to learn Facebook ads, but I want to learn them myself. I don't hire anyone to do anything I don't know how to do myself. So I began to run Facebook ads, and I had all of that pixel data already. The ads were just extremely profitable from the beginning. When I initially started running the first few ads myself, we're in like a 6 to 7 ROAS. I know how to do the audiences. I did everything. And then it got to a point where when it comes time to scale and optimize the ads, or they start to get fatigued, I'm so busy running all aspects of the business, I couldn't focus and do the creative refreshes and the optimizations and the segmenting the audiences. And if something's performing really well, pull it out and put it in its own campaign, right? So I said, I'm causing myself to kind of lose out. So then I enlisted in an agency, which I got lucky because they're really like an extension of my team. They're really, really dedicated to our growth. And I think that's not easy to find. I interviewed maybe 3 or 4 marketing agencies, and it was kind of hard. Like on paper, I'm looking like, okay, like,
I think that hiring is just so hard, especially agencies, because marketing in general, they know how to put themselves in the best light. I own an agency. I know what it's sales at the end of the day. But what was it about the agency that you chose that made you go, I think these are the one?
My spirit. Like, I'm big. Like, honestly, even now looking back, I can't tell you, like, even really how we got to this point. Like, I always just go with what...
Trust your gut.
Trust my gut, what's told. And I feel like that's the easiest way. Like, when you go against that, right? Like, when I said, I'm going to go part-time when my spirit said to quit, then I started getting, like, picked on at work, right? You're going against what's meant for you. So I just really followed the flow. Like, literally, it was a difficult decision because I'm looking at... I narrowed it down to 2 agencies. I'm like, all right, we have this, we have that. And I think at one point, I don't know if I should say this, but between the 2 agencies, mine had 1 woman on the team.
Yeah.
But that wasn't really my I had to kind of get petty because I'm like, all right, what, how am I going to make this decision? Like, because they're all equally smart, same service fees, great audits, great presentations, great understanding even of the competitor analysis. But I just decided to go in my agency, and they're really great and invested. Like, the CEO himself was just at my office a few weeks ago. We had lunch and we did our weekly meeting in my conference room. They understand the business as a whole, and they kind of even sometimes help beyond what their scope is.
Yeah.
So they're really dedicated to our growth, which is great.
Awesome. There's so much more I'd love to go into here, but I want to know, like, what haven't I asked you about that you think would resonate with our audience?
Oh, so I guess one of the things is, like, right, we always talk about the great things, right?
Yeah.
But I've also been through, like, hell and high water throughout this whole process, right? So even like this September 2023 was our big Labor Day sale, our second time doing it. And literally, like, I should have been so excited. Like, people were like, the sales were like crazy beyond belief. And that was like that month we made the most money ever in the shortest period of time. And it was just so stressful. Like, I literally had to spend a month myself in the back of my warehouse with the staff 7 days a week and my children, packing orders and doing these different things. Like, the hardest part of business is finding good, reliable people who are gonna be there and help to support and really be dedicated. So I made major changes. Like, Q4 of last year, I got rid of all my warehouse staff. I outsourced to a fulfillment center, which was tough for me, right? Because we have this, we have an 8,000 square foot warehouse in New York. And I'm like, we have all this space, but I just can't focus on logistics and running a pushing all these orders out of our warehouse. It's pulling my attention from other things. And then when we're short, or when people call out, or they just don't show up, then I'm stuck back there instead of doing the work that drives the business forward. Got rid of all my warehouse staff, outsourced to a 3PL. I got really lucky with them too. I interviewed so many. Like, I interviewed 3PLs who have robots that go pick stuff. I interviewed so many, and I love this one, and they've really been great. Like, so I did the 3PL. I also, I hired an executive assistant. I hired an operations manager. I got really lucky with them. They're like both very smart, hardworking, dedicated. Like, there's times it's the end of the day and I'm like, all right, guys, like, I need you guys to start getting up from your seat. We got to go. Like, we can't stay here this late every day. But they're super dedicated to the brand. So now my goal is to really, so that's what makes it even now harder to hire, because I have a really good team that's like really hardworking. They're excited to be a part of the brand and they do whatever they need to do to kind of help drive things forward. So now anyone else that we bring onto the team, right, they have to have that same grit. So one of our interview questions is, like, when we're hiring for social media, because now we're gonna have a team of 5, we ask them, it's 4:30 on a Friday, you look in the content calendar and all of the content that you had scheduled for the next 2 weeks disappeared. It's 4:30 on a Friday, what are you gonna do? If you say you're coming to me, you're not getting hired. if you say, oh, I'm going to do whatever I have to do until five, you're not getting hired, you know, because I think the one thing that's more important, more than even skill, because you can teach skill and certain knowledge to people. You have to have people that care. That's the only way that it works. Like right now, if I didn't have my operations manager and my executive assistant that cared, I would not be able to be at this conference because I would be at the office running the rodeo, right? Like I've had to do for the past 3 years.
Absolutely. I think as you grow a business, delegating big parts of the business is super hard as an entrepreneur, especially to get from where you were to what you're doing now and that success. You had done it all. And you know, no one ever does it the way that you do it or as good as you do it. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely a skill I think a lot of
entrepreneurs. As long as they can do 80%, right?
Yeah, that's the exact number I said.
There's something that I heard the other day, and they're like, a lot of CEOs look for someone that can do it just like them. And they said, no, look for someone that can do 80% of it. Like that's what you need, right? And that's the only, like even social media, I ran our social media for myself the first 2 years of the business. And I said, whoa, like now we have like 5 or 6 platforms. I have to get people who can focus on this while I focus on other things, right? And again, you gotta find the right people, but when you do, it just works.
Absolutely. Shayna, I can't thank you enough for coming on today and sharing all this. I'm going to have you back next year because there's so much we didn't get into.
And I got to talk to you about TikTok. TikTok is a place
I know. We didn't even cover TikTok, which I can tell you offline about my adventures with TikTok. So for those listening and they were curious about the product, where do I go to check that out? Where do I find you on socials?
Yes. So our social handles are all at Bask and Lather Co. So B-A-S-K and Lather, L-A-T-H-E-R Co. Our website is www.baskandlatherco.com. Our products are available on our website. We're also on Amazon and we're on TikTok Shop where we have 2 bestsellers.
Awesome. Shayna, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Chase.
We can't thank our guests enough for coming on the show and sharing their knowledge and journey with us. We've got a lot to think about and potentially add into our own businesses. You can find all the links in the show notes. You can subscribe to the newsletter at honestecommerce.co to get each episode delivered right into your inbox. If you're enjoying this content, consider leaving a review on iTunes. That really helps us out. Lastly, if you're a store owner looking for an amazing partner to help you get your Shopify store to the next level, reach out to Electric Eye at electriceye.io/connect. Until next time.